Tomorrow on Issues Etc., our weekly series on teaching a Sunday school lesson. This is really, I'm a little bit surprised, because I thought this would be kind of vanilla stuff. You know, I'm nothing against Pam Nielsen or against the subject, but Sunday school lesson? We've gotten a lot of very positive response from people in this little series that we're doing. We've decided we're just going to do it forever. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is now a permanent fixture on Issues Etc., because you can, I don't know, this thing will go on for three, they got 3 years of lessons, I think, in this. It's just another way that Issues Etc. and AM 850 KFUO serve the church. Our weekly series on teaching a Sunday school lesson. Tomorrow, God's Call of Abram. We'll get up to Genesis about 12. Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House will be our guest. We'll also have Bob Leko respond to our recent and still somewhat confusing interview with Marilyn Hickey tomorrow on Issues Etc. Maybe Bob will be able to clear the confusion that has been in my mind since we interviewed Marilyn Hickey, and it just didn't sound like the Marilyn Hickey I see on TV or here on the radio. We'll see tomorrow with Bob Leko. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We've got audio open lines for the next 30 minutes. We'll hear an MSNBC interview with the leader of the Kids on Fire camp in North Dakota that is the subject of this documentary film called Jesus Camp. Then, at 4:30, we're going to try a little something interesting here. As often as we've reviewed sermons by Joel Osteen, he always begins every sermon with what I have called in the past his Bible creed. And people have called in and said, oh, we've heard this little creed before. Everybody hold up your Bible, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Joel Osteen's Bible creed is pretty familiar. I'll call it the Osteen Creed. We're going to compare and contrast at 4:30. You really want to tune in for this. It's going to be interesting. And I want your input to this more than anything else. We're going to compare and contrast the Osteen Creed with the Apostles' Creed. They're of equal length, just about the same length. And see if, you know, we can discover anything by laying them side by side. That's coming up at 4:30 here on Issues Etc. Greg Kokel will be our guest at 5 o'clock. Ms. Magazine's cover story, We Had Abortions. Several thousand women signing a petition that goes to the White House and the House and a bunch of other places this week. They say legalized abortion is in trouble. They want women to come out and admit they had abortions. Dan Criswell will be our guest in the last half hour. Time Magazine's cover story, How We Became Human. He'll join us from the Institute for Creation Research and respond to that cover story on Time Magazine. Our call-in numbers during audio open lines, we're coming to you live this Wednesday. It's the 4th of October, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And that in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, the woman who runs the Kids on Fire camp in North Dakota not only appears in the documentary film Jesus Camp, she also granted an interview recently on MSNBC. Here it is.
In the United States, we look at the intense Islamic religious training many children undergo in countries half a world away, and many of us shake our heads. While children here are undergoing similarly intense religious training in Christian summer camps, a new documentary called Jesus Camp profiles Pastor Becky Fisher as she preaches that children can be used by God to change America.
Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I need you to get serious, serious with God. Say, God, I'm here to be trained. I'm here for an education. I'm willing, God. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Joining us now is Becky Fisher, who is the founder of Kids on Fire Bible Camp. Great to see you today, Becky.
Thank you so much.
All right, so this documentary shows you, when we just see this clip of you with this room full of kids, you know, I'm sure a lot of people out there have been to vacation Bible schools during the summertime. This seems a bit more intense, is it?
Oh, definitely more intense. It's definitely not your average vacation Bible school.
All right, so what are you trying to do when these kids come to this Kids on Fire camp?
Well, there's a number of things. The primary thing is we're just trying to provide a platform for them to really get deeper in their faith with Christ. We have a real problem, a crisis in the Church of Jesus Christ or in the United States, in that 70% of our kids are leaving the church by the time they become teenagers and a college age, and they're never coming back to churches again. So as a children's pastor, I have to look at that and decide what can we do to change the situation. So I'm trying to bring them something more than just the traditional Bible stories that they get on a weekly basis. We do those, but we want to take it a step farther and really give them an opportunity to get deeper in their faith.
You know, Becky, a lot of people who are seeing clips of this scattered across the internet, or they have been to see this film, are saying it looks like a madrasa. This looks like what you would imagine kids are going through at those madrasas in Pakistan or Afghanistan or somewhere else in the Middle East. And here this is, it's the Christian right, right here in our own country, indoctrinating kids. Are you?
Well, indoctrination is an awful strong term. Another term that's being thrown around is brainwashing. But when you think about what those terms are, actually brainwashing is nothing more than a systematic bombardment of ideas and ideologies that's aimed at a person until they start believing what you tell them. And as Christians, we look at the world that our children are being raised in, and we feel like they're being brainwashed and bombarded with ideas from media, from books, from music, and all the rest. So what we feel that we're doing is we're just trying to set up do a comparison. Someone said to me the other day, the world gets them for 51 weeks out of the year. We get them for 1 week. We've got to try to undo everything that they've been hearing in these other media.
All right, before they go on to the next question that the MSNBC reporter has for Becky Fisher, who is she runs the Kids on Fire camp in North Dakota. That's the subject of the Jesus Camp film. That's what they're talking about here. I found her answer, that was one of my concerns here, because actually the film makes a comparison. It's a comparison that's drawn by Becky Fisher herself in the Jesus Camp film, where she says, look, what our enemies are doing, they're getting these kids young, training them, teaching them, raising up their own kind of army. And it's a sidelong reference to militant Islam. And then she follows by saying, we need to grab the kids at that age too. If our enemies are using this tactic, so should we. Now, when posed with the comparison between Jesus Camp and a madrasa, we've all seen this on television, whether it's in the United States. We had Serge Trifkovic or maybe Aaron Wolf on recently. They went to a Muslim school where the kids were being taught basically anti-American ideology. They were shocked to see it here in the U.S. or in Syria or elsewhere. We've all seen it. These little kids who are being taught to hate America, hate Christianity, whatever, in their various schools, raised up in a militant or semi-militant form of Islam. And we say that's just wrong. Not only are the ideas that are being taught wrong, and this is where I found her answer so puzzling, just because your ideas are good does not mean that you... And just because you only get the kids for 1 week a year and the world gets them for 51 weeks a year doesn't mean you take advantage of the ease with which children can be manipulated. These are kids. I'll just approach this as a father. These are children. I don't care if you're going to teach them nothing more innocuous than baseball's great, apple pie tastes good, and America is the best country in the world. I don't care if it's that innocuous. You do not take advantage of children's tendency to be easily manipulated. Just because the world's doing it, just because you turn on the television and every commercial, every show is taking advantage of your children's tendency to be easily manipulated, doesn't mean you do it too. That's my main concern about Kids on Fire camp. My biggest concern is the methods they use. My second biggest concern, and it's a very close second, are the ideas that they're pushing. Kids are kids. Children before a certain age do not have the emotional, psychological, mental capacity to fend off ideas when they are presented in a compelling way. They do not have the critical thinking skills to evaluate ideas. It's not because they're stupid. It's not because they're uneducated. It's because they're children. You can, depending on how young they are, you can get a kid to believe anything. Let me give you an example of this. And it's an example from my own history as a father. When my daughter was very young, probably from the time she was just barely able to speak, we had a cat named Moses. He had come to us first year of marriage when we were living in St. Louis as a stray. He just showed up at the door one day. I made the mistake of feeding him. And 21 years later, he was still our cat. Okay, 19 years later. I always told my daughter at night when we were putting her to bed after prayers and we'd sing little songs, and she'd want me to tell her the story about how we got Moses. And the story I told her from the very beginning was a fanciful, I tell my kids all sorts of kooky stuff. I told her a fanciful little story about how Moses had been a circus cat and how Moses was riding on a circus train through St. Louis performing for his fellow clown cats in a boxcar, and the boxcar door was open, and the train hit a sharp curve, and Moses fell out of the boxcar and landed in a soft bush. And since he saw the train speeding away, he took off his little round nose and his little frilly collar and his little clown hat, and he came to our house to live with us. I told my daughter this story probably at least twice a week from the time she was very, very small. Little did I know that for many years my daughter believed it. Now, I thought I was telling it in a way that was lighthearted, fun. Who would believe this? She did. And she was kind of heartbroken, a little disillusioned, when she realized I was just blowing smoke. I was just telling her a cute bedtime story. How many kids have been told about Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy and then been crushed when they find out it's not true? Kids believe what parents say. Biggest concern about Jesus camp. Robert's calling from his car. Robert, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Robert.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Wonderful. I'm not agreeing with the woman in her Jesus camp, but maybe you could help us cut it a little closer here. What she's doing is a form of catechesis, which is almost like repeat after me, which is what we do with our children. And what we do with our children is we just have them grow up and believe certain things, and there's no critical thought that can come to those things. Rather, all critical thought flows from them. And that's just the way things are, whether or not you're a Christian worldview or you have an atheistic worldview. Everyone's catechized. I mean, cut it closer as to what exactly it is that she doesn't, or what exactly she's doing that's not right, because
yeah,
there's a similarity there.
I understand what you're saying. The difference between proper indoctrination, thank you, Robert. I don't have a problem with indoctrination. I happen to think indoctrination is a good thing. You know what it means? Teaching. There's a difference between teaching and taking advantage of a child's, as I said before, taking advantage of a child's tendency to be easily manipulated. There's a difference between teaching and manipulation. There's a huge difference. Given the fact that kids will believe what you tell them, how you teach them those things is altogether important. So if you get the kids in there with lots of loud pounding music, all sorts of face paint and whatnot, you isolate them from society for a week. You make the experience as intense as possible. The kids go into fits. Some wriggle on the floor. Some are weeping. You give this to them 24/7. You tell them the world's about to end and your generation will see the world end, so you guys better believe this or do this or whatever. That has crossed the line from saying, here it's sitting down with your kid at night with the catechism and saying, let's say the Lord's Prayer and learn what it means. And sitting down with your kid at night and reading a Bible story and saying, here's what the saints of old, This was these people living in faith in Jesus Christ, reading through the Gospels. Are you presenting them things that are you teaching them? Yes. But you're not taking advantage of them. Now, I don't know where I draw that line, but if there was a guy someplace, let's say Pastor Peter Bender's Concordia Catechetical Academy, If I went up there and suddenly discovered that he had the kids in face paint with bungee sticks dancing around to drum beats 24/7, but it was all the catechism, I would say, Pastor Bender, what you're teaching is good. How you are teaching is immoral. I don't think he does that. I think it's a little closer to, let's pray the Lord's Prayer and see what it means.
Let me play another clip then from the film.
Hi. God's just telling me that you're on his mind, and he just wants to take you, and he just wants to love on you, and he has special plans for you in your life, and he just wants you to be able to follow him with your whole heart.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So now you see the little girl walk away after she gives this woman at a bowling alley a tract, and the woman looks around, and you can see her. You can almost read her thoughts, like, who is this strange young child? And then the little girl goes back over to her dad for some approval, a pat on the head, so to speak. You know, I'm going to be really honest with you, Becky. I grew up as the daughter of an evangelical Baptist preacher.
Okay.
I have done that. I was that child going and knocking on doors with my dad, trying to save people's souls. And I remember how nervous I felt, and I was really only doing it to please my dad. I wasn't doing it because I really believed in it. Do you think some of these kids are doing this because there's a lot of pressure for that adult approval?
You know, I really don't. I can't speak for your situation. I think, of course, those things must happen out there somewhere. We're not forcing. We're not trying to, make these kids do something to make us happy. Her father did not set her up for that. That was all entirely her own choice. I can't speak for her. I wasn't inside her head when she was doing it. But the kids, we're not taking them out door knocking. I personally abhor that myself. And so these children, they're making a decision on their own. We give them the information. We tell them, that of course is a deep part of the Christian faith.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like the way that I was brought up as well, door knocking or not. Let me bring in the directors of this documentary. They are Heidi Ewing and Rachel Grady. And by the way, the documentary once again is called Jesus Camp.
Before the directors come on, one comment on this. They show a scene. The girl goes in a bowling alley to witness to someone, or it sounds like witness. It's kind of like, well, Jesus is really great and he loves you, and then she goes back to her father. I've been put through this too, not as a child. My parents did not require us to do any, bowling alley witnessing or anything like that. It was when I was studying in the seminary. It was part of a course. We were taken out to a local Lutheran church as part of an evangelism course, and we were required. It was a class requirement. Get this. They may still do this for all I know. We were taken out as a part of a class requirement, the whole evangelism class, to a local church. We were kind of, sat down and given the biggest crash course you could possibly get in door-to-door evangelism. We were given a pile of tracts and sent out into this church's neighborhood to knock doors, literally knock doors in the middle of the day, two by two. It is seared into my memory. I even remember the guy I went with, who is now a pastor up north, Pastor Glenn Werdeman. If I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves, we walked and knocked doors, and neither of us were too happy about it. Our hearts were not in it, which is kind of odd, forced evangelism. You really would want witness to the saving work of Jesus Christ to be voluntary, to be something that someone does because, not because they have to get a grade, or not because they have to for any other reason. Kathy's calling from St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Have you heard of something called Awanas?
I've seen the signs on just about every church I've passed recently.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how long it's been around, but when I was a kid, I had to do Awanas, and we went to a non-denominational church before they were real popular. It had the gymnasium and things like this before most other churches were doing it. that I found that at the time they did this, and then they still do it now, I'm pretty sure, where they do something very similar to this Jesus camp, where they very much try to scare the heck out of the kids and tell them that, you know, Jesus is coming. He could come right now. And if you don't accept him, then you're going to go to hell. And they just basically try to scare the heck out of these kids and, you know, I think make them afraid to go to close their eyes at night, you know, unless they get the fire insurance. So I just think it's horrible.
Kathy, thank you very much for the call. Jeff, put it on the list. We gotta get someone to talk about Awanas. Have you seen this on church signs? Every church I cross, it must be making a resurgence. Awanas is a, I don't know what it is. It's some kind of crazy program. Kathy was talking about it there. So put it on the list. Find out what it is. Do your thing. And then we'll be talking about it sometime soon on the program. Let's go back and get the rest of this audio. Is there enough time here? Yeah, there's enough time to get the rest of this Becky Fisher interview on MSNBC.
So, ladies, nice to talk to you today. First of all, I know some of the criticism from the evangelical Christians who were portrayed in this film is that it's not really fair that you've taken a few of the extreme instances and screwed them up so that it makes them look frightening. Did you?
Absolutely not. We actually spent a lot of time making sure that we were capturing accurately and truthfully what we were finding, what we were shooting. And we spent 10 months editing and making sure that it was an accurate representation of this particular group. Of course, not all evangelical Christians are charismatics or Pentecostals or send their children to camps that are this intense. But this particular group does, and we found it very interesting and extremely relevant. And like you said, a lot of people walk up to us after screenings and they say, I went to a camp like that, or I was raised in a similar way. So it can't be that extreme and fringe if we get letters and phone calls and people walking up to us in all cities across the country saying that they had a similar experience. So we do think it's a relevant community and a relevant film.
All right, so Rachel, let me ask you, if you spent that much time with these groups of people, did you come away thinking, okay, I may not believe the same way that they do or to the extreme, but this is normal. This is American life.
You know, it was incredibly eye-opening, this entire experience for both Heidi and I. We both are secular people. We live in New York City. We had not spent, you know, days upon days with devoutly religious people in the heartland before. We had never had an opportunity to do that. And we really walked away from this experience feeling like we feel like we live in a bubble and that we are quite ignorant about how a majority of Americans are living their life.
Becky, I'm just curious, if seeing yourself on film, I'm just wondering if it gave you a different perspective at all.
I see it through their eyes now, but I don't think I would make any changes. I don't think people can understand everything that's going on and the dynamics just by looking at the film.
Well, Becky Fisher and Heidi Ewing and Rachel Grady, ladies, it's great to have you all with us. And Jesus Camp is open in cities around the country.
All right, there's a story from MSNBC. Well, I would take issue with one of the directors there when she said that this is the way the majority of Americans live. It certainly is not. Would I call it fringe? No, because what used to be fringe is now mainstream in much of American evangelicalism. My concerns still stand, not only for how it's being taught, but what is being taught at the Kids on Fire. Charlie here made a great joke. If a kid's on fire, you don't run them around. You teach them to stop, drop, and roll. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hello, this is Kay Meyer of Family Shield. Did you know George Barna's research has documented 64% of those who are unchurched say that a good person can earn his way to heaven? How do we engage the secular world with a spiritual message? Build positive relationships with those who do not know Christ? Join us next time.
Family Shield, Saturday mornings at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
What impact does the culture have on our boys? Next time on Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson presents the facts, stories, and evidence as to why boys are hit even harder than girls in this struggle. It's a program taken from the film series and best-selling book, Bringing Up Boys. And it's all about mending wounded spirits. That's on the next Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Christian education and youth experts are asking if there isn't a spiritual response to the recent spate of school shootings across the nation. While the White House convenes a special summit on the topic, Christians look at the effects violence and pornography are having on the culture and whether the faith-based community has a role in solving the problem. Steve Jordahl reports.
A lot of questions about what happened earlier today at a schoolhouse, a one-room schoolhouse in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, in the Amish country.
News reports like this one signal that a cycle of mindless violence has returned to our schools, and while government officials start the process of reevaluating school security and the like, Christian counselors like Danny Huerta are pondering how to talk to kids that are traumatized by the news. The first thing is not to downplay the fears.
If you look in Scripture, one of the things he reassures us most is he says, do not be afraid. And that's if you look at the frequency of those words, it's very frequent in Scripture, so he knows that that's a battle we have in our own minds.
Ron Luce of Teen Mania says the shootings are a microcosm of what's happening to our youth. It's the older generation preying on the younger.
You've got it through video games. You've got it through the sexualization of our culture. They're making money off our kids' destruction, and we need to stand up as Christians and do something about it.
Noting that the actions of the two adults who recently attacked school kids point to mental illness, education analyst Dick Carpenter says it's time for Christians to flood the mental health field.
I would say this is a perfect opportunity for faith-based organizations to jump in and offer their services.
He says the Christian community is uniquely positioned to offer good news when the world seems to be falling apart. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
Carpenter tells students to become more alert to strangers on campus and more vigilant to the threats posed by fellow students. He says sweeping changes in school security might alarm kids more than calm them. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold is our AM 850 KFUO Church of the Week. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life." The people of Good Shepherd Arnold invite you to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30. They also have an excellent preschool for children 2 years old, pre-kindergarten. Their address in Arnold is 2211 Tenbrook Road, telephone 636-296-1292.
Do you want more of God's grace? Village Lutheran Church in Ladue is a Bible-believing church faithful to the Scriptures, a place for the whole family, a community that cares with a vibrant, historic Christian liturgy. Village Lutheran Church is located at 9237 Clayton Road in Ladue, www.villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, 314-993-1834. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Wednesday. It's the 4th of October already. Chuck Rathard hosts the Bible study here on AM 850 KFUO, and I guess he called Jeff last night as Jeff was dozing off or something. I don't know if Jeff ever sleeps. I seriously doubt he does. He's kind of like the Terminator. You never see him, and I've never seen him sleep. I don't think I've ever seen Jeff sleep, except at the wheel once. We got a ticket. What does Beth say? Oh, she says you snore? Really? So is that how we know you're sleeping, if you're like running around snoring? Probably, because I've never seen him stop. But so I guess Chuck caught Jeff in a sleepy moment last night and had a great suggestion that as often as we've reviewed sermons by Joel Osteen, we always play at the beginning of the sermon his what I call his Bible creed. Hold up your Bible. If you've seen Joel Osteen, you've seen this thing. If you've heard any of our reviews, you've heard it. We've never really commented on the creed. We've gone on and done the sermon, but we've never really looked at the creed itself, Joel Osteen's creed. So Chuck suggested a good point. A comparison would be the Apostles' Creed. And lo and behold, as I looked at the two side by side, I realized they're of equal length, pretty much. They have the same kind of structure, a three-part structure. There are some similarities between Joel Osteen's Bible Creed and the Apostles' Creed, between the Osteen Creed and the Apostles' Creed. Now, I want to hear from you. We're going to play the Osteen Creed, and then we're going to play the Apostles' Creed, courtesy of Dr. Ken Sherb. And I want to know from you, do you notice differences between the Osteen Creed and the Apostles' Creed? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can email us as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, this will require some active listening on your part. You have to listen to each one of them carefully and then discern what differences there may be. And when you call, just don't say, well, they're different. Tell us how they're different. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Listeners with the best comments will receive our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, The Apostles' Creed. It's a kid's book. It's a picture book teaching your kids the Apostles' Creed. What a great tie-in, Jeff. That was a marvelous idea. We could also give away the last remaining Listening to Luther that we've got on hand. No, we can't. Okay. That's part of our audio, I suppose. So let's start with Joel Osteen and his creed, and then we'll listen to the Apostles' Creed. And I want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you've ever heard a sermon review of Osteen's sermons here on Issues Etc., you've heard this.
All right, hold up your Bible. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 I'll never be the same in Jesus' name.
Okay, that's the Osteen Creed. Here's the Apostles' Creed. We'll get to it here in a second. We're just having a little trouble with the CD player. These CD players, these crazy CD players. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. That was the Osteen Creed. Here's the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
All right, do you notice it? Do you notice differences or any difference between the Osteen Creed and the Apostles' Creed? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This isn't a trick question. I want to know what differences you notice. So there's not a right and a wrong answer here. I want to know what differences you notice. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Call now. It's audio open lines. And we're contrasting the Osteen Creed with the Apostles' Creed this Wednesday, October the 4th. Let's go first to Dennis, who calls from his car. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Pastor Todd. How are you?
I'm very well.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Since I just finished my Lutheran confirmation classes and had to memorize the Apostles' Creed, the profound difference that I see that Joel Osteen's creed is basically centered upon the self, upon the individual, whereas the Apostles' Creed is centered around Christ, his life, and crucifixion and resurrection.
Dennis, thank you very much. So The Osteen Creed is centered on the self. The Apostles' Creed is centered on Christ. Anyone else? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. There are a lot of details in both of those creeds, so it doesn't just have to be general differences. It can be specific differences. Randy's up next, who calls from his car. Hi, Randy.
Hey, Todd. Hey, kind of going with the caller before, I counted the word I believe, 7 or 8 times in the Osteen Creed. And in the Apostles' Creed, the word I is only used twice.
What does that tell you, Randy?
I think it's who the focus of the creed is. Kind of going with the sermon reviews that you often do, is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Very similar sort of focus between the Osteen Creed and the Osteen sermons, and the Apostles' Creed and a good law and gospel sermon.
Thank you, Randy. Yeah, they do tend to go together, don't they? What it kind of proves, or at least lends some credence to the fact that we've often observed here on Issues, etc., that what people say really does express often what they believe. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're comparing, contrasting, and trying to discern the differences between the Osteen Creed and the Apostles' Creed. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Issuesetc@kfuo.org. Okay, let's make it a little bit easier. Let's play them in tandem. Let's play them, if we break the Apostles' Creed into three parts having to do with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We break the creed, the Osteen Creed into three parts. Let's contrast the two and play them side by side.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name.
All right, what differences do you notice? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address for you to use right here during the program. We'll get it here in the studio. Issuesetc@kfuo.org. Differences between the Osteen Creed and the Apostles' Creed. Phil's calling from his car. Hi, Phil.
Hello.
Hello.
Joel Osteen's creed can be used by anybody that believes in a God. And the Apostles' Creed can only be used by Christians.
Interesting.
By Christians.
I had never thought of that. Phil, put Phil down for, what are we giving away? Oh, we're giving away the Apostles' Creed. The children. Do you have kids, Phil?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to send you one of these absolutely free. You stay on hold, and Jeffy will get your stuff. I'm going to send you the Apostles' Creed. It's a children's book teaching the Apostles' Creed. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I speak? There we go. If I spoke during that, it would have sounded very strange. Yeah, the best comments from our callers and our emailers, we'll just send you a copy of, you know, it's easier just to teach it this way, how to teach your kids the Apostles' Creed. Here's a book that does it. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October called The Apostles' Creed. It's a children's picture book. So Phil gets one because that was a brilliant comment. The Osteen Creed can be confessed by anybody who believes in a God. The Apostles' Creed can only be confessed by Christians. Steve's calling from his car. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Very well.
Great. Two things. First of all, the Apostles' Creed, even all the creeds, all three ecumenical creeds, the focus is on the Trinity. Here, the focus is on me. It's all about me. It's all about me having my mind alert. It's about me changing. And nowhere in the Apostles' Creed or any of the creeds does it talk about I. The only thing I is I believe.
Which is a statement. Thank you, Steve. Which is
right.
A statement of I trust. Yeah. It's a statement that actually, by using the pronoun word I with I believe, you are taking all the focus off of yourself and on the one in whom you believe. Thank you very much, Steve. Anybody else, feel free to chime in or to expand upon the other caller's comments here. What differences do you notice between the Osteen Creed and the Apostles' Creed? We'll play that side by side here in just a minute again. But first, let's talk with Paul, who's calling from his car. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Todd. Forgive me if this seems oversimplified or obvious, but it seems to me that the purpose and intent of a creed is to have some kind of theological content. And that seems what struck me is that one had an abundant theological content, the other really had none. I mean, he makes a comment that the Bible tells him that he, you know, what he is and stuff like this, but then he doesn't really explain what that is. So
yeah, it's curious, Paul. Thank you very much. It's a Bible creed that actually does not confess what the Bible actually says. I am who it says I am. Well, who is that? I can do what it says I can do. Well, golly, the Bible I read says I can't do. So maybe does Osteen agree with me? I don't know. Apparently, this creed is quite common in Pentecostal and charismatic and non-denominational circles. Kia writes this via the email from Birmingham, Alabama. Very simple. It's the difference between Christ-centered theology and anything else. Me, as opposed to God and what he has done, not what we can do or be. Thank you very much, Kia. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, someone out there listening might say, I don't notice a difference. In fact, when we've done Osteen sermon reviews, it is quite common after an Osteen sermon review for me to get email, usually, oddly, from Lutheran listeners who will say, I don't understand your problem with Joel Osteen. I don't understand why you critique his sermons the way you do. I don't see any difference between what he preaches and what my pastor preaches on Sunday morning, to which I weep a little tear at that point, because I don't know whether the person is unable to tell the difference between faithful, Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching and what Joel Osteen is preaching, or whether their pastor is actually preaching what Joel Osteen is preaching. In either case, it makes me sad. If your pastor is preaching what Joel Osteen is preaching, you got two options as I see them. Get a different pastor, or perhaps he can be reformed. Maybe some continuing education from Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. If he's unreformable, I would suggest replacing him. All right, let's listen again for the differences, such as they are, between the Osteen Creed and the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name.
All right. There they are, side by side. What differences do you notice? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's talk with Beverly in her car. Hi, Beverly. Welcome to Issues Etc.
I hear a lot of I's from Joel, and I hear a lot of Jesus did this for us.
That's a very basic difference, isn't it, Beverly?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you could get clearer than that. Thank you so much. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Comparing, contrasting the Osteen Creed with the Apostles' Creed. Millie in Arlington Heights, Illinois, is on the line. Hi, Millie.
Hi. The only comment I'd like to make is that, to me, our Apostles' Creed covers the past, the present, and the future. The Osteen Creed is the now, now, now.
Very good. Thank you. Now, see, this is what I'm talking about, folks. There's a basic difference, an obvious, perhaps not so obvious to some, but an obvious difference. And then there are differences, more subtle. And sometimes those subtle differences are almost as important as the ones you notice right away. Osteen's Creed, a creed for the moment, right now. The Apostles' Creed actually makes reference to what God did in the past through Jesus Christ. Look at creation, the important things. See, you could look at it this way. Someone would say, what's the biggest difference here? We could have a debate about what's the biggest difference. Is it Trinity versus a generic God? Is it I versus Jesus? Is it theology versus no theology? What do you think? Millie, call us back, and I'm going to send you a copy of our Issues Etc. book of the month for August called The Apostles' Creed. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Paul emails us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. He writes, Osteen's Creed says, I am what the Bible says I am, etc. But I see no confession of being a poor, miserable sinner and a need for absolution. Osteen promises that you're going to hear the word, but he does not deliver. Well, at least that's been my observation. Thank you, Paul. That's been my observation in reviewing the sermons. We're going to receive the incorruptible word of God, and very often what we hear is a lot of interesting anecdotes, stories, and jokes from Joel, with maybe a little, sometimes he'll preach an entire sermon with no reference to the Bible whatsoever. He didn't even quote a Bible passage. Now, what were the Bibles there for? Why does he have them hold them up? A Bible creed that doesn't confess what the Bible confesses. Irvin calls from his car. Hi, Irvin.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, the difference I see between the two creeds are the Apostles' Creed was a creed that was stated and organized by the early Christians, stating exactly what they believed. They wanted the world to understand that. Joel Osteen's creed is simply a commitment of what he wants his listeners to do. I don't believe you're fair in comparing the two like you are. You're comparing apples to oranges. Compare apples to apples, and you'll find you'll have a different perspective.
On really, I mean, we've done a number of sermon reviews of Joel Osteen, and there's no cross there. So at least on that account, comparing apples to apples, let's say that Joel Osteen isn't asking people to confess anything, although he does say at the beginning, say it like you, believe it. A statement of what you believe is a creed. Sorry, Irvin. But let's just not take his creed as the measuring rod, but his sermons. Irvin, try this. Go and listen. They're online. You can listen to them anytime. To Joel Osteen's sermons after he's done his Osteen Creed. And you compare apples to apples, Urban. Listen for Christ and him crucified. Every person that has called or emailed and said, I think I hear Jesus Christ and him crucified in Joel Osteen, I say to them, go listen to it. Get back to me when you hear it. I'll be the first to admit it on the air. When you go find it, I thought I read about Jesus Christ crucified in his book, Your Best Life Now. Go find me the page number. No one's ever gotten back to me. Florence calls from Georgetown, California. Hi, Florence.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. One thing that really struck me when he was talking, I noticed it right away, is the heavy-laden amount of adjectives that are contained in his statement of faith. Listening to the Apostles' Creed, it sounds much more like a simple, profound statement of faith. It isn't lacking words. It isn't adding words. It's almost like with Olsteen, the more words he adds, it must be more true. And I was trying to figure out why he said, never, never, never. And I was sitting there thinking, why, because we say, holy, holy, holy. God says that about himself in Scripture. And we don't see that as unnecessarily repetitive, because it is a statement about God. But in this case, it seemed like him repeating those things, and he repeated it four times in two sentences. That's what I recall counting. There may be more.
I think it is, Florence. And maybe, I don't know if he's trying to convince himself or his listeners, but so much for vain repetition. Ross calls from Minnesota. Hi, Ross.
Hi, Todd. My comment is basically the lack of theological content, as some other people have stated, but you can't refute anything in Joel's Creed. This isn't something that you could have a council on or discuss with other pastors and refute it or have any meaningful discussion about it. The only thing you could dispute was, okay, this is my Bible. Well, obviously that's his Bible. So
yeah, if it's got your name on it, Joel, I guess it is your Bible. Thank you very much, Ross. Yeah, it doesn't refute any heresies, that's for sure. Eric in Irving, Texas writes this: I don't disagree with the people talking about how Osteen's creed is all about me. They're absolutely right, but it's also all about the Bible. Just me and my Bible, writes Eric. It reminds me of all those statements of faith you find in non-denominational churches. Instead of starting with Christ or the Trinity, they start with a statement on the inerrancy of Scripture, as if God were true because he's in the Bible, rather than the Bible being true because it testifies of Jesus. Brilliant, Eric. Thank you. Thank you very much. Jesus authenticates Scripture, not the other way around. Susie in Goshen, Indiana writes this: as well as Osteen's creed being centered on the speaker as an individual, where the Apostles' Creed is centered on and around Jesus, Osteen is wrong on at least one thing. We very confusingly remain so much the same despite having Christ in us through faith in his saving life, death, and resurrection. As Paul said, Osteen said, states, all the devout Christian platitudes, which should at the very best be the beginning of personal small group conversation and not actually stated in creedal form. Thank you. Thank you for the email. This is Chuck from Hillsdale, Michigan, and he writes: the Apostles' Creed tells us how God revealed himself in Christ for our eternal salvation, while the Osteen Creed supposedly tells us how God revealed himself in the Bible for our material prosperity. Well, perhaps yes. I don't even know if it says that much. You know the biggest contrast I thought of at first when I thought of the difference between the Osteen Creed and the Apostles' Creed? One has something to say, the other doesn't. One actually tells us what the Bible says. The Apostles' Creed. The other one doesn't. It avoids saying what the Bible says. We'll take a few more of your phone calls and your emails on the other side of this break, contrasting the Osteen Creed with the Apostles' Creed. And then we'll talk with Greg Kokel about Ms. Magazine's cover story, We Had Abortions. We'll follow that with a conversation about the Time Magazine cover story on, what is that, How We Became Human. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, 505-780-1800-730-2727.
It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.